So today we have the last in our series of famous passages and where to find them. If you have your worship guide with you, this would be March 3rd, and our theme today is focusing on the 23rd Psalm. Lent begins next week, as we mentioned, and we're going to have a new sermon series for Lent. Psalm 23 today, the 23rd Psalm. Psalms are about in the middle of the Bible. They're numbered 1 to 150. So Psalm 23 should be easy to find in your Bibles. So we know that Psalm 23 is read at memorial services. It's memorized by children or adults and then prayed over in your recliners. Right? For morning or evening prayer, for devotions and much more, in trenches and in hospital rooms. The most famous of all the psalms attributed to King David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." The second passage is related, and actually we're going to do that one first. It's from John chapter 10. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. Jesus almost certainly knows Psalm 23. And they live in a shepherding culture. Everyone knows about the low status of shepherds. And if the Lord is my shepherd, there must be a reason for that. That God is with us. God cares for us. Jesus becomes God with us, the Good Shepherd. And we begin today with John chapter 10.
John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. And this is Jesus speaking. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The scripture you have already read. Please pray with me. You, O Lord, are our shepherd, and because of that we shall not want. Amen. So I realize that I know very little about sheep. They say baa. They have lambs. They are white and black and other colors. I do know something about shepherds, though. And the line in the psalm that tells a lot about the shepherds is this one. "He anoints my head with oil." Here's why shepherds anointed sheep in Jesus' day. Shepherds are easy targets for flies, lice, and ticks. A sheep that was not covered in oil on his head could easily become the victim of an infestation of those pests. And so the shepherds anointed their heads with oil to kill the pests that were already on there, to smother them, and to prevent other pests from entering in. So the anointing oil was protection from disease and from pain and from distress. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Shepherds do other things for sheep too. They keep them together. They find places of food and water to give them what they need. They go after those that go away. In short, shepherds protect the sheep. They go after them. They make sure they're fed and cared for. We are told by Jesus that he is the good shepherd who cares for all. "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus in this time of farewell to his disciples. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's hired hands who don't know the sheep, and when the wolf comes, they run away. But Jesus says, "I am not like those hired hands. I do not run away. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." And he says, "I have other sheep that don't yet belong in this fold, and I'm going to go get them too. I must bring them too. And then they will listen to my voice, and we will have one flock, one shepherd." We discover that Jesus cares for all and places a special priority on those who are suffering or hurting. "I have been entrusted, along with your other pastors, of being your shepherd." Jesus asks this of us. We are to care for you, to nourish you, to help you grow, to protect you from thieves, and to do this for all the flock, all of you. And I try to do this faithfully. A new challenge was added to this shepherding this week because of the actions of the United Methodist Church's Special General Conference held February 23rd to 26th. Since 1972, the language in the Book of Discipline has said that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching, and has prohibited people who are self-avowed practicing homosexuals to become pastors, and we are prohibited from marrying people. Many people hope to remove that language from the discipline. At this conference in St. Louis, 864 delegates from the U.S. and other parts of the world approved by a narrow margin the traditional plan for the future of the UMC. The task of the conference was to determine how the United Methodist Church would relate to our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. The traditional plan maintained the current restrictive language in the discipline and added further restrictions, creating even greater exclusion. The plan has been referred to the UMC's Judicial Council, which is our Supreme Court, which will rule on whether the plan is in line with our United Methodist Church Constitution or not. Until that ruling comes in late April, we don't know whether this plan will stand. We will know more as time goes on. "My heart is deeply grieved, this shepherd, as I tell you about that." It takes me back to another time in my life and one of the reasons why I grieve this day. I grew up, I think many of you know, in a very strict Lutheran tradition. I went to Lutheran school for 8 years, and I had two close friends growing up. And one of those friends, when she became a teenager, came to me and our other friend and said, as we were developing this interest in boys, she said, "You know, I'm really attracted to girls." And we were mystified by this and didn't understand. And yet, as time unfolded, she was our friend, so we loved her. And we watched her through relationships. She came to our wedding. She had her ups and downs in life and ins and outs and all of that. And we were in and out of contact with each other. And some years later, when we were in our 30s, our other friend, called me, and she said, our friend Carrie has been killed. And as the story unfolded, Carrie and her partner, her female partner, had settled on some land in a state in the Midwest and were doing jobs, and they were working in farming. And the person who lived on the farm next to them didn't like it that there were two women who loved each other who were living there. And one day when Carrie was repairing a fence, he shot her to death. After that, God put on my heart pain for those who struggle, working to shepherd and include them, and sometimes that is our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. The decision of the General Conference resurfaced my anguish over my old friend. And there was new pain, too, a profound disappointment that a hope that all God's people would be fully included in the life of the church was not to be. I always have practiced including all. I know that while our stories are different, disappointment and dismay is real for some of you, too. So now we find ourselves in a critical time, a crisis in the United Methodist Church. Let's think for a minute about the best things to do, the most healing things to do in a critical time. I'm doing some shepherding here right now. Think about at the time of a death or another crisis, you do what needs to be done. Like I'm sharing this message with you today, which I would rather be doing almost anything else right now. But we do what needs to be done in a time of crisis, right? We take one step at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time. We acknowledge our emotions. We acknowledge our pain, our anger, our sense of loss, or whatever it is at the time of a crisis. Sometimes we seek advice or help. We control what we can, and we let go of the rest. There's a lot we can't control in a time of crisis, right? And this is maybe the most important, and you know this, because many of you have suffered serious losses in your lives. Don't do anything rash. Don't divorce your wife, or sell the house, or move to Belize, or anything like that. Wait. So part of that is my reassuring you, my flock. We here at St. Mark's are not going anywhere or doing anything drastic. We continue with what we do. I'm reassuring you about that. You see, all real ministry begins locally here with us. Not at big church. It all begins here. You know this. We become then a bridge for God's grace, a bridge to the world, changing the world through Christ by caring for all people. Right now, 6 people from our church, including Pastor Stewart, are building homes in Rocky Point in your name with one mission, with 60 people from our Desert Southwest Conference doing what we do, being the church in mission, changing the world by caring. I want to say that all of you are needed here and welcome. One of the beautiful things, now this is my 9th year here at St. Mark's. One of the beautiful things about St. Mark's is that we've been able to hold in tension that we are made up of people who hold different positions on a number of things. We do this because we love and care for each other. We practice here. There's not many places where you get to do this. We practice here being the bridge of grace that Jesus calls us to. I fervently hope that we can continue to do that. I realize that some of you may not like or approve of things I'm saying and may find you need to leave, but I sincerely hope not. Those of you who are part of the LGBTQAI plus community who are here, or those of you who have children, grandchildren, sisters and brothers who are part of that community, I want to say that you and your families are welcome here. Your voices, your gifts, your talents are needed here. There are many things we don't yet know about the decisions made at General Conference. We don't yet know what this decision by General Conference means. The traditional plan, as I said, was referred to the Judicial Council, and they will meet in April, and then we'll know more. Will the United Methodist Church split? Well, we're already pretty fractured, but it's too soon to tell. We might have decisions here to make in the future, but not right now. Not right now. You might want to check out some resources if you want to know more about this. You can go to the United Methodist Church website, umc.org. You can go to the Desert Southwest Conference website, dscumc.org. And you can read what some of these leading voices in our denomination are saying. Bishop Will Willimon. Reverend Adam Hamilton, that should sound familiar to you. And to some of you, Reverend Dr. Stan Copeland is an icon in the United Methodist Church, the senior pastor at Lover's Lane in Dallas. Read what these people are saying about the actions of General Conference and our future. See what these wise and respected church leaders are saying. The theme is, we wouldn't anymore recognize, if John Wesley was here today, he wouldn't anymore recognize by its rigidity and phobias the United Methodist Church decisions this week. So I ask you, stay with the flock. I gotta tell you, I've had my moments of doubt and fear this week, when I thought, why don't I just retire and go out to pastures green? And then I remember that pastors never really retire, they just go out to pasture. And so I am not doing that. I am staying with all of you. My call and my appointment and my heart is to help all of you grow, to help the Good Shepherd, to know the Good Shepherd better, to protect you from harm, to go after wolves who seek to harm you, not like the hired hand who runs away from danger, to care for you. Please stay and let's work on this together, pastors, leaders, all of you, all of you. I've been thinking this week about how parts of my life have been shaped by my relationships with gay and lesbian people. Besides the tragic story of my childhood friend Carrie, shortly after I came to Tucson 25 years ago, I met two dear people at the church I served them. I'm going to call them Grace and Phoebe. They're both gone now. But over the years, they loved on me. This is really important. They loved on me when others were unkind to a woman pastor. When I was tired and afraid, they took me out to lunch. They gave me little gifts. They let me be part of their lives, dear ones. When Phoebe died, they had been together more than 50 years. They never asked anything of me. They didn't ask me to marry them or do a commitment service or anything, probably because they knew that they would put me in an awkward position. They cared for me better than I cared for them. They were dear friends, dear people. Grace died just a couple of years ago, well into her 90s. The job of shepherding is sometimes messy and uncertain. In Jesus' day, shepherds were necessary, but they were the lowest on the totem pole, smelly and set apart. But Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, shepherd to all. God asks us all. The thing is that God doesn't just ask me or other pastors to shepherd. Right before Jesus left this earth, after his resurrection, Jesus was sitting with his disciple Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Well, of course I do, Lord." Three times then, as if to redeem Peter from his three times of denial, Jesus tells Peter to feed my lambs and tend my sheep and feed my sheep. Jesus asks all of us, especially leaders, to do so too. Shepherd his flock, his people, help them know him, go after the ones who go away. All are needed in the flock and need to be protected in the fold. Right before this passage in John 10 that Keith read a few minutes ago, John 10, chapter 11, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came." This is easy to remember because it's John 10, 10. John 10, 10. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now, we're not going to talk about the UMC and the General Conference and these things every week. Today, it was important to do so. Don't let the thief steal God's grace from all of us. Remember, Jesus is our good shepherd, sent by the Lord, who is our shepherd, as we know from Psalm 23, sent to lead us to pastures green, where we might all find life, and asks us to lead others there too, together. Amen.